This is one of the topics that's very dear to me, and we're in the middle of this series. Last week we started this series Beyond Logic, because it makes sense, no pun intended, that we make decisions with our logic, and we have reasoning, and we have to make decisions with our mind. If we made decisions based on our feelings, just what we feel, and then I do, it would be pretty chaotic. You know, I get up in the morning, I don't feel like going to work. Well, I guess then I'm not going to work. Or I don't feel like serving, then I'm not serving. Now, the reasoning, the part of our mind is very important, and God created it. But when we're talking about logic, I want to take us beyond that. Not to not use it, use it. But go beyond logic, include faith into it. So we have this three-part series that we're talking about. How does a walk of life, how does it look like for me to be a man, a woman of faith, and integrate my faith in my everyday living? If you ever put any kind of electronics together, any kind of video games or any kind of players, you know there's cables and connectors, and they have tons and tons of different connectors. Some take USB, some take mini USB, some take HDMI, some take all this RCA and all these different connectors. Well, if you want to plug into God's glory, if you want to plug into His kingdom, the HDMI cable is faith. If you don't have the cable that's titled faith, you're not going to be plugged in. It's not going to turn on. It's not going to function. If you purchase a vehicle, they give you a key that's designed to operate that vehicle. If you don't utilize this key, the car is not moving. It's just going to stand there. It's going to be beautifully decorated and maybe polished, waxed, and standing in your garage covered and knowing the fact, hey, I have this. This belongs to me. But you're not utilizing. You're not going for a ride. You're not seeing the kind of the fruit of your labor. So the second part that I titled, I called it Sin Detergent. First part, we talked about applying faith or integrating faith into the Word of God. And I'm going to do a little bit recap as we jump into this part two. We talked about that we have the Word of God, but Word of God doesn't do us anything if it's not applied, if faith is not applied to it. We talked about examples that if the Word of God says, do not revenge yourself, allow me to revenge, then I act upon it. There's an exercise part of it, meaning that I do not do what the Word of God says not to do, and I do what the Word of God says to do. And the reason I will do it is because I believe that it's true. If we get text messages once in a while here from church, we have farmers that bless us or other members that have businesses or trucking businesses. Sometimes they have fruits to share or something like that. And they would send out a text message, a group text message to the church. And they say, hey, at 5 p.m. on Saturday, they brought watermelons. If you want to get stop by, you'll get it. Believe it or not, you're operating on faith that this message is true. If you believe that the message is true, if leadership has credibility or this system that sends out messages, then you act upon it. Then what you do is you get in your car, you drive, you come here, and you pick up the produce. If you don't believe it and you say, oh, it's spam, I don't know what, there's someone probably made a mistake. Guess what? You're going to be without watermelons. You're not going to receive the blessing. So when we talk about the Word of God, we have to apply faith to what we read. It's not enough to have a Bible plan. It's not enough to have a Bible app and just go through your Bible plans and share with your friends and put a check mark, hey, I read a Bible in a year, or I just read this plan. If you just read it, it doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't serve you. It doesn't bless you. It doesn't move you to the next phase. It doesn't contribute anything to your soul. It's just something intellectually that you read. Without faith, it doesn't do you any good. So Hebrews 11:1, which is going to recap from last week, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the Voice translation put it really nicely. It says, faith is the assurance of things you have hoped for, the absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen. Realities you've never seen. these realities are things that happen in your life, things that the Lord does in your life, that in your intellectual or on a mind level, you would not have seen it. We also spoke about metaphors. I use metaphors such as weapons, construction, or food. Bible uses these metaphors to help us understand the kingdom of God, that there are weapons we war against spiritual principalities. You war in your mind. Joyce Myers wrote a nice book called Battlefield of the Mind, where a lot of our warfare happens on our in our mind. The thoughts that we receive about ourselves, the thoughts that enemy sends us, and we battle through that. We build. We're a living stone, meaning that we're building kingdom of God. So we operate, whether through a ministry that God entrusted us or we just come as body of believers, we're building something that the Lord told us to do. We're spreading the gospel. We're part of these stones, whether we sing, we usher, or we minister in a childcare. Regardless of what we do, we're builders, kingdom builders. And also, I used an analogy or a metaphor from the scripture about food. And how many of you like food? I certainly like food. And especially on English service towards the end, it's like, okay, finish up, wrap up, because we haven't ate for a while. We need to eat. And there's cravings that happens. So we use these analogies to understand the things, that how God relate to us. He's a God who protects through various weapons that need to be operated. He builds in our life. He builds my character, my personality. He builds the way of life, my family. And he also provides daily nourishment for me on whatever I need on an emotional level or just overall in life. So we talked about having our needs met. And the underlying message from last week was that we cannot have a random belief. I can't say, I'm going to believe I'm going to have $1 million in my account today. I'm going to believe, I'm going to believe, I'm going to proclaim it, I'm going to say it. I can't do that because it's not based on anything, right? But what we can base our faith on is the Word of God, because the Word of God, the Bible, is true, and it is a living Word of God that was inspired through prophets, through various people that wrote it throughout many, many years. So if it's written in the Word of God, we can base it, we can stand on it, and we can confess it, and we can say, the Word of God says, the Word of God says. And it is not something that we just kind of took out of air or something that we came up with. No, the Word of God says, and the world is built on the Word of God. Do you remember in Genesis how the world was built? It says, and God said. So we use tractors and shovels. God uses words. And God said. And whenever a word of God comes out, it never comes back in vain. It never comes back empty-handed. It always produces some form of fruit. It always produces something that he wanted to accomplish. And if you go through the days of creation, you will see that all he used is God said, God said, God said, and God said. So the five tips that we left off with last week is, in order for me to believe the word, I have to know the word, right? So this is where the Bible plans come in, daily reading, devotionals, and things like that. I have to know what is written there. But what was missing is a lot of people leave it only at that step. They just know the word, but they never apply it. They don't believe it. They don't plug in this faith HDMI cable. It never turns on for them. It doesn't become a living thing. Because if I believe what is written, I'm going to act on it. I'm going to do. If it says, take care of widows, I'm going to take care of widows. If it says, take care of poor people, I'm going to take care of poor. If it says, don't serve two gods, you can't serve money and me, then I'm going to assess and analyze my life. How is that going? What is my heart attracted more, making money or serving the Lord? So once I believe, the acting part is the transformation of my walk, transformation of I walked a certain way before knowing the word. Once I got the word, I'm walking a different way. It's sort of like Even managing finances, right? If there was a certain way that you manage finances and you go through a program like Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey or something, and he lays out some steps, okay, these are basic steps that you need to take. This is how you manage, stay away from this, don't do that. Your life behavior changes based on the teaching that you have received. So when you read the Word of God, there has to be change. If I read the Bible for 10 years and there's no change in me, it's useless. It doesn't do, what good does it do me for reading the Bible if there's no transformation, if there's no change, if I don't grow, if I don't develop in my personality? And the last two is collecting evidence. This could be journaling. This could be just reciting in your mind all the things that God came through in terms of healing, financial breakthrough, blessing you with a spouse, your children, your work, career. And as you look back, the steps that you took, the steps of faith, God is saying, I was there. I am Alpha and Omega. He's there yesterday, He's there today, and He will be there tomorrow. And this is how our faith is strengthened, and we exercise our faith, and we become more and more bold to step out and do the things of faith. I want to give you a little bit of statistics as we jump right in. Is when you think about population, when you think about worldwide, how many people? I looked up and it says as of 2020 census that there are about 7.7 billion people in the world. There's probably more than that by now. And I was curious to see how many people are believers, Christians, if you take all the kind of Protestant faith movements. And so whether it's true or not, but the Google, right, says that there's 31% of Christians worldwide, okay? So out of 7.7 billion people, there's only 31%, which is about 2.3 billion people worldwide that are believers. And again, there's different denominations and many, many people that practice it. So majority of people are not believers. Atheists, agnostic, Muslim, all these things, other religions that do not accept Jesus Christ as the Savior. Right? They do not believe that Jesus is God, that Jesus forgives sins, that He is Lord. They don't believe that. So they fall into this category. Okay, so let's leave them alone. Let's go back to this 31%. If 2.3 billion people are believers, and I looked up in the United States, how many people are in the United States? There's about 330 million people. 330 million people. So think about how many people are not believers. If you take 5.3, the non-believer side, divided into how many people in the United States, it's 16 United States. 16 United States do not know Jesus Christ, do not know Him as personal Savior, okay? And we can kind of wave a flag and say, yes, I'm one of the 31%. I have the Lord in my life. I'm not part of that category. But the question that I'm posing to you, the question that I'm asking you, are we any different if we don't exercise faith, if we don't have faith in our life? Are we any different than this group of people that are less fortunate, that haven't heard the gospel, that haven't received the Lord, that do not have access to Him? If I don't have a relationship with the Lord, if I don't believe what He says in the Word, and if I don't act on it, if I don't practice it, then do I have a different lifestyle or not? Meaning that even out of the 31% of believers, the 2.3 billion people, the question that is very curious for me, how many of them believe? How many of them have faith? How many of them exercise the teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us? Because I can go to church, I can celebrate, I can even raise my hand, and I can worship without engaging heaven, without engaging God, without having my needs met. We're going to be talking about the detergent of sin. And I'm going to be referring to this 31%, not even including the 69% that desperately need the Lord. is what I find is quite a few believers go to church on a regular basis and still walk a life of shame, of guilt, and heavy burden that make them cry at night, that make them have a life of, I wouldn't say a celebration or victory, something that is opposite. So let's look a little bit about bleach in general so that we can kind of have a comparison when we talk about stains on clothes in general. So bleach is a generic name for any chemical product that is used industrially or domestically to remove color from a fabric or to clean or remove stains. And I know that you heard this message before many times, and I'm asking you not to disconnect from this message. I'm asking you to pay attention because the Lord wants to give you something special today so that you do not walk in a life of an orphan or a life of someone who's deprived or neglected as on an ongoing basis. Because God wants you to have a daily testimony. He doesn't want you to have a testimony once a year that God touched you, that you experienced God. We are doing a disservice to God if we're experiencing Him only once in a while and all the other times we're operating on intellect. So in comparison, Galatians 5 verses 19 through 21, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness," yes, drunkenness is in here, "orgies, and things like these. I warn you." This is not Alex speaking. This is Apostle Paul's writing to Galatians, inspired by the Word of God. God Himself is saying, "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Is it possible to be part of the 31% of Christians worldwide and at the end find out that I wasn't really a Christian, I was part of a Christian group? I wasn't a follower of Christ. I was part of a church that had a title that there's Christ in it. There's a Jesus in it. We all have stains, right? We all have stains. And we wash our clothes regularly. We use different detergents. Some prefer one over the other. But we regularly clean ourselves. We take a shower regularly. We wash. We even watch out for clothes that is worn out, and at some point we replace it because it went through a certain wash loads that you can't really utilize it unless you're doing a garage cleaning or something. You can't take it to church. You need a new set of clothes. Well, Bible says that our soul is kind of the inner essence of who I am. If you say, Alex is not my body, right? My body is the clothes that I wear. Inside of me is a person. And that person will go to eternity. That person will have memories. That person will have that personality in eternity. I'm going to have a different body. You're going to have a different body. There will be a transformation that will take place. Some of us will still be alive. Others will pass away and then will be resurrected and have a different body. So when I see you in heaven, we're still going to be us. I'm still going to be Alex. I'm not going to all of a sudden become Vitaly. I'm still going to be Alex. But I'm going to be in a different body, okay? So as we're walking out here on earth, we have a soul that gets dirty. We have a soul that gets stains. And it's not always from us. I know that sometimes we are clumsy and maybe don't do a good job of taking care of ourselves and we get stained. But there are times where other people can stain us. My child can come up to me and play in a sand or playing in the dirt, and he can grab my hand and stain me. It's not something that I did. It's something that another person did to me. Well, we are affected emotionally. We are affected on a soul level by what other people say and what other people do, how they behave, the decisions that they make. We are affected by that. And all that is a result of sin. It's from the time when Eve and Adam sinned, and all of a sudden now we live in a world of sin. It's almost like now we live in a world of dust, right? And especially when the sun is shining and you have this bright light and you see all these particles that we breathe in, and you're like, oh, are we actually breathing this in? And like, I'd rather not see it. So the closer you get to God, God will start showing you more and more of all the things that are not right with your soul. He's going to start showing you these inclinations that you have towards sensuality. He's going to start showing you these areas in your life that fits of anger come from. As children kind of maybe induce that, or your in-laws, or those who don't like you very much and they push your buttons, these things of the flesh will start coming forward, and you will see that they just start coming up. So the question I'm asking you is, how many laundry loads do you do a week? One, two, every other day, once a month? Do you do laundry? Maybe you have it made. You have a maid called Mama, and she does all the laundry for you, and she never taught you how to do it. I had this conversation with my wife. Our oldest is 13, and then so on. I said, maybe they should do their own laundry. Maybe we shouldn't kind of do everything for them, start teaching them how to do this laundry. When we do laundry, and each of us has a preference of what is the right way of doing laundry and what is the right way of folding it, what are the results of doing laundry? When we do laundry, we have a fresh smell, clean look, and it feels good. I really hope that the Holy Spirit can translate the message that I want to deliver to you. When our soul is cleansed, when we receive forgiveness of our sin, when a certain area of our life is illuminated with the presence of God, there should be an outcome. There should be a result. There should be tangible result that you're feeling, that you're experiencing. If you have someone who just prays a sinner's prayer, and we celebrate that, we wave our Christian flag and we say, yay, a person just prayed a sinner's prayer, but you see there's no fruit, there's no result, you don't have the fresh, clean, you don't experience maybe the desire for the Lord, the passion for the Lord, the life, the prayer life, the thirst for the Word of God, all that is not evident. Sometimes you wonder and you ask yourself a question, has that person really encountered Jesus? Has that person really touched Jesus, has been touched by Jesus? Or is it just some kind of a religious act that happened and everybody does it, so they do it? In fact, can I be honest with you? Sometimes I wonder, even people who receive water baptism, whether they are born again. Do you think it's possible to receive water baptism and not be born again? They were never taught, they never understood the faith component. They never understood that being born again requires believing in the Savior and actually acknowledging that I need a Savior in my life. So Acts 10:42-44, it says, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receive forgiveness of sins through his name. Everyone who believes in him receive forgiveness of sin through his name. What I find is most challenging is when we have a persistent sin, something that's repetitive, something that persists, it pursues us. Like when the Israelites were leaving Egypt, there was a pursuit that happening that never left, the pursuit. There are people that have a certain area of pursuit. Some have a pursuit of anger. Some have a pursuit of sensuality. Some idolatry. All these different areas in your life that you have these attachments or these roots that are just keep following you. Some are more prone to addictive behaviors and they just keep following you. Well, what is challenging is If you ask the Lord for forgiveness once, twice, three, four, a dozen times, two dozen times, you come to a point where your faith is going to be tested. And you're going to say, I did this so many times. I asked the Lord so many times. I'm not going to do it again. This is useless. I keep praying. I keep asking forgiveness. And I can't seem to shake it off. This is where faith needs to be plugged in. This is where faith needs to be engaged. Because the Lord says, unless you believe in me, unless you trust in me, you cannot be saved. You cannot muscle it. You cannot just have this muscle strength that you develop and say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You are not that powerful. You are not that strong. So we have to have this faith that all who come to him, all who come to me, I came to a place, there was a certain area in my life, I came to a place of surrender. And I said, Lord, I cannot overcome this. I cannot do this. Therefore, I'm dependent on you. And I hold on to him like a child holding on to a father, that no matter what happens, I'm going to come and believe him. I have a two-year-old that I change diapers, right? My wife and I, we change diapers for the two-year-old. And I don't have enough fingers on my hands or my feet to count how many times we changed her, right? And the Lord is the same way. He is not intimidated. He's not afraid of your persistent tendency to sin. But he wants to teach you that he is Lord over your sin. He is Lord over your sin, and he can break the chain. He can help you overcome it and shake that off. But there has to be wrestling. There has to be this fight. There has to be this coming to the Lord and bringing to him in faith and crying and repentance. John 8:23-24, it says, he said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So I'm addressing and I'm talking to this 31% that we are part of. We as believers, we are part of those who accepted the Lord and follow him. If Jesus is not strong enough, and I'll use a little bit of a stronger language. If Jesus is not strong enough to overcome your sin, what good does he do in your life? If he is not powerful, if he doesn't have the strength, if he is not capable. But the Lord says, I am he. And unless you believe, you're going to die in your sin. And God wants us to learn these baby steps to walk in faith and say, the Lord, according to your word that we talked about last week, it says, those who call upon your name, those who confess will be forgiven. I am standing on the word of God. Again, yes, again, I'm coming to you because I don't want to walk in a stain. I don't want to live a life of stain. I want to live a life of purity. And I'm coming to you again. And I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ washes me from every sin. The reason I say this, the reason I am advocating for this is because forgiveness of sins has to produce a fruit. I have to have a result. When Jesus forgives me, when he washes me pure, when he reveals a certain area in my life and he delivers me from it, there follows a fruit or follows a result of the way I live my life. Act 26, 16-17, it says, but rise up and stand upon your feet. For I have appeared to you. This is God. Jesus is talking to Apostle Paul. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. And then he goes on to say, Acts 26, 18-19. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Hallelujah. God is calling you and I from darkness to light. He's calling us to sanctification. He's calling us to purity. And when we wore out our clothes, when we try again, again and again, again and again, He wants to give you a clothes of righteousness. He wants to give you a clothes of purity and forgiveness. And that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Today, as I'm sharing this word, I want to ask you, are there areas in your life that as a believer, you might say, Alex, I'm a believer. I'm even part of ministry team. I help out. I serve. But only you know, if everybody in church would come into your personal life, what happens in the evenings? What happens in your bedroom? What happens when you're driving your car? What happens between you and your phone? Would you be comfortable exposing it on a screen for everybody to see your personal life, your how you walk out your journey with the Lord? I certainly wouldn't be, and I don't imagine any of you would be, because there are areas in our life that we want still sanctification. We still want breakthrough. We still need this dam to be broken. We still need this power, this heavy lifting equipment that comes in from heaven, where angel is sent and says, I am freeing you, where and apostles were in a prison and they were shackled and they are in prison and the angel of the Lord came. So notice there was power activated, power of the Holy Spirit, power of God activated to break the chains. And there are moments in our life, there are moments where these chains need to be broken, where these chains need to be released in order for you and I to have a victorious life. So what I'm inviting you to and I'm asking you is, would you believe with me that God is not done yet? Can we say all together that God is not done with me yet? God is still working on me, and Holy Spirit desires to bring this fruit within you, confidence that you are not alone, that He will not leave you. My daughter is about turning almost in February, she'll be 3. And I'm noticing that she's kind of getting to this age where she's shy about letting me know that she soiled her diapers. She's hiding. She's not as before. She would be open and saying it that she needs to be changed. Now she's hiding because she's becoming more conscious that, hey, what I'm doing is probably not right. I should be using a certain place for that. And as we walk out the faith with the Lord, God will illuminate those areas and He will shine. He will show you through the Word. As you read the Word, my son, this is not okay. My daughter, this is not okay. You cannot be called a Christian and do these things. The Word of God doesn't allow it. In my kingdom, we don't do this. Therefore, I want to purify you. I want to cleanse you. I want you to be free from it. Not only hide it and somehow patch it up. I want to get rid of this root. I want to cleanse you, and I want you to have a life of freedom so that your prayer life is full, so that the walk before the Lord is pure, and so that you, when you read the Word, it comes alive. I think it becomes pretty boring when we read the Word of God and it doesn't become alive. So let me kind of conclude with this, and we're going to go into prayer. Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. This is a good barometer for you. This is a good gauge for you. How am I doing? You know that outcome of sin is not always me wallowing in sin like a pig does, right? That's not always the case. A lot of times it's just followed by sadness. A lot of times it's followed by doubt. A lot of times it's just you feel like you don't belong. You feel alone. Deep down inside, you feel alone. You feel disconnected. You don't feel like you're good enough. You feel like whatever you're doing, you keep stumbling. You're not measuring up to a certain level. All those things are thoughts. Our thoughts as a result of sin that has been disconnected us from the Lord. And what God wants for you and I is to be plugged in more and more into the Word of God, to be plugged in into faith, to be plugged in into the cross, to be plugged in into the blood of Jesus, that blood of Jesus Christ can wash our sins away. Would you stand with me? We're going to go into a prayer. We're going to have an altar time. And we're going to pray right now to the Lord. And I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to each one of you. I know Holy Spirit is speaking to my life. Holy Spirit is speaking to your life. As we walk through valleys, and God will intentionally bring us into desert. As I spoke last time, God will intentionally cultivate a phase of a desert in your life just to see, will you trust me in a desert? If I am not with you, will you still trust me? Will you believe? Will you believe that I am good? Will you believe that I know what I'm doing? Will you believe that I have provision for you ahead of times, even before you enter this phase? Do you believe that when you are battling with sin and it feels like you are alone, it feels like pastor doesn't understand, it feels like the word of God is not doing anything for me, and I'm kind of stuck in this battle with sin, do you believe God? And God's asking you, do you have faith that I am with you? Do you have faith that I came and I'm the only one who can set you free? And as we heard at the first service, when Hannah was crying out and a prophet came to you, to her, and she said, no, I'm a woman that is in sorrow. And we have these areas in our life that we don't understand. God, I feel abandoned right now. I feel alone. I feel like enemy is winning. I feel like I don't have direction. I feel confused. I don't understand. And God still has his hand on you, and he says, I know, I am testing your faith. I'm testing your faith. What happens when the enemy will increase? What happens when the darkness will increase? How will you operate? How will you function when the sin becomes stronger, when perversion becomes stronger in the world? How will you operate? I'm teaching you to walk by faith. I'm teaching you to be plugged in. I'm teaching you to operate on faith. So we're going to pray. If you desire some altar time, we'll come and minister to you. If you're battling sickness, if you're battling some kind of conflict within your family, if you battling maybe knowing a direction which the Lord wants to take you, or if you have some struggle, personal struggles, internal struggles, I'm proclaiming to you that Jesus Christ said, unless you believe in me, you will die in your sin. God wants you to be free. God wants you to have fruits of the Spirit. God wants you to walk in victory. And as we're going to learn to plug in, as we're learning to have the walks of faith, we're going to engage heaven, and we're going to say, the word of God says, Lord, you said, if we confess our sin, you are faithful to set us free. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, we come to you right now, and we come before your throne. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you that you would teach us to walk by faith. Lord Jesus, I know that the enemy sends a lot our way. And I know there are many deceptions in the world. And there are many, many people, Father, even those who are part of the 31%. And this is why my heart is grieving. There are many people of Christians who are called Christians. They never sense you. They never experience you, Jesus. When they go to their quiet place, they don't hear your voice. They don't experience you. They don't know what you sound like, Jesus. They don't hear your voice. They don't understand your voice, Lord Jesus. And they find themselves battling with sin. And they find themselves overtaken by sin. Lord Jesus, we come to you right now by faith. And we're asking you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, that you would increase our faith. Father, I'm asking you that you would increase our faith today. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you that you would help us to apply this detergent for sin. For any, Father, shade of sin that is in our life. Maybe other people have wounded us. Maybe other people have spoken things against us. Maybe they've spoken curses against us, Lord Jesus. But you said that your name is above all every other name. Your name is above every other name, Lord Jesus. And today we choose to believe. We believe that you break curses, Jesus. That you break every chain, Father. We believe, because from faith, this is how power is engaged. This is how power is released, Lord Jesus. And we come before you right now, Father. And we just pray. And we just pray that you would help us to believe, Lord Jesus. That you help us to engage into heaven. Hallelujah. We celebrate the cross. We celebrate the blood that was shed upon the cross. Lord Jesus, that there's no other religion. There's no other gods. There's nothing that can wash away our sins. Nothing can wash away our sins, Lord Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus. Only the faith of Jesus. Father, and it saddens me that your blood has been shed. Your cross has been completed. The crucifixion has been completed. And resurrection has been completed. And yet many people are still in bondage. Many people are still in bondage and they are not set free, Lord Jesus. And therefore we're crying out right now and we're standing again on the word of God. And you said, if we cry out to you, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be set free. Jesus, we're interceding right now for those areas in our life that are polluted by sin. We're interceding for those areas in our life that have a grip on us, Lord Jesus, that we can't seem to shake it off, Lord Jesus. You said, if you had a faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move the mountain. Lord Jesus, sometimes it feels like this mountain is immovable. Lord, I'm asking you that you would help us to move this mountain in Jesus' name. Father, I believe in your word. I believe in your cross. I believe in the power of your blood. And by faith, we receive healing. By faith, we receive strength from you. By faith, we receive direction because Abraham went into a country that he did not know. He believed you, Lord Jesus. By faith, he sacrificed his son. Father, we are joining men and women of faith who have conquered and overcame this world. And I'm asking you right now, Father, that there will be freedom, that there will be a release of power into the areas that need it in Jesus' name right now. As we worship you, as we magnify your name, let there be a release of power that happens based on faith, Father. Release of the bondage. Forgiveness, Father, as it comes through confession. As we go into worship, let us worship the Lord for his faithfulness. Let us worship the Lord for the power to forgive us and for a power to release us from bondage and from shackles. No matter how many times we need it, but furthermore, that we would have victory, that we would not repetitively come to him, but we would have victory and set free and be set free in Jesus' name. Let's glorify him.